The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stranger things, everyone wants more. All we can do is wait for season four. I thought in the meantime that it might be fun to read every comic and book in what I call the Stranger Danger Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club. Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club.
Stranger Things fans, and welcome to another special episode of Stranger Danger, the Stranger Danger Book Club, where today I want to talk about a book that I just finished reading, Stranger Things, Darkness on the Edge of Town, an official Stranger Things novel, that's the full title, by author Adam Christopher. Oh, and before I forget, I just wanted to give a shout out to someone who sent an email to the show last month. We got an email from someone named Millie Hart. Hi, Mike. My name is Millie, and I'm from Italy. I just wanted you to know that I absolutely love your podcast. It is the best Stranger Things podcast I've ever listened to. Thank you very much, Millie. I also wanted you to know that I'm auditioning for Stranger Things Season 5, and I would love it if you could wish me good luck. I hope I can meet you in person soon and tell you how great your podcast is. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your day. Good night, Millie Hart. Well, first of all, the meeting in person thing, I mean, who knows if that'll ever happen again. I don't even meet my family and friends in person anymore at this point. But you never know. You never know. Fingers crossed the day we can meet people in person. Second of all, thank you so much for all the nice words about the podcast. That was really cool. But most importantly, good luck, everybody. Everybody right now, everybody listening, wish Millie Hart good luck when she auditions. That sounds really awesome, really cool. And fingers crossed that you get on the show, and then we have an in. We have an in. We know somebody on the show. That would be amazing. And very cool. I think you might be my first listener from Italy, or as my wife's uncle would say, Italy. I don't know if that's a Massachusetts Italian-American thing. I don't know. But very cool. Thank you so much, Millie. I really appreciate it. And you folks out there, you can reach us too anytime. You just email strangerdanger@fansnotexperts.com. Folks, it's good to be back. I told you I am a slow reader, with my Boston accent, I am a slow reader. Okay. But I finished it today. Now I'm recording this on Saturday. This is probably coming out tomorrow, I'm assuming, but I'm recording it on Saturday because I wanted to talk about it immediately, talk about this book immediately. And I also want to just mention a couple of things. Seeing new cast members pop up on Twitter has been really cool for Stranger Things 4. It feels like the ball's really rolling. We see pictures of production, and it's pretty exciting. And I saw Robert Englund is going to be in it, Freddy Krueger himself. I'm pretty psyched about that, but that's for another time. Today, I want to take you back to the 70s. Of course, the title of the book, Darkness on the Edge of Town, is in reference to the song of the same title by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, a musician in a group that I know very, very, very little about. But something that, it's one of those bands or groups and musicians that I am extremely respectful of. Like I know what it is. I just know that I don't know it. I have like a bad vocabulary in the world of Bruce Springsteen. I know certain songs, and I probably know more than I even know that I know, which is bad because it's like, oh, that's Bruce. Oh, that's that. But someday I plan on really jumping in feet first. But that's the song that opened up this episode, but that's for another time. This is all about a book report, sort of, kind of, and all about a Stranger Things book, sort of, kind of. This book came out in May of 2019, and it's by author Adam Christopher. Adam Christopher is a fellow from New Zealand who has put out, he's put out books called Killing Is My Business. It's like a robot. What is it called? It's like a robot. He does a series of books with robots in them. With like this, it looks like it's a hard-boiled detective style story with, but it's with a robot. He's put out he put out a Mandalorian. When was this announced? November 2nd, 2021. He's putting out a Mandalorian original novel. Oh, very exciting. He's written books for like the TV show Elementary, kind of like little expanded stories on that, the video game Dishonored. But he also has his own kind of Ray Electromatic series of mysteries with robots that, based on this book, I wouldn't mind reading. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I enjoyed this book. I enjoy the story. This felt like it was loosely based. Like the story itself, I don't know how to say this. It really wasn't, it didn't need to be a Stranger Things book. I'll put it that way. You know, with Suspicious Minds, that was like feet first, right into, did I say feet first again? Right into like the Hawkins Laboratory. Right before, and Dr. Brenner, right? Dr. Brenner, my God, I'm losing my mind. You know, right before Eleven's story kind of begins. This is a story all on its own that is kind of bookended in certain spots by Hopper and 11. And there will be spoilers ahead. But again, nothing will spoil the TV show. This has nothing to do with storyline or characters. Or storyline, I should say, in the TV show. It does have to do with characters. Really what it seems like is, I think this is between, I'm going to say between seasons 1 and 2. Or maybe 2... It's between some of the seasons. Whatever season that they have Christmas, I'm going to say, oh, wait a minute. He's living with her. So it's definitely between seasons 2 and 3. So it's Christmas break, and all the kids are off doing, you know, off on family adventures. And 11 is stuck in the cabin with Hopper. The kids did buy her a radio, but she's unable to use it. So I guess... I mean, I guess technically this could be between seasons 3 and 4, now that I think about it. Right? Oh, no. No, it can't be. What am I thinking? What am I thinking? Hopper. Oh, Hopper. So this is definitely between seasons 2 and 3, as far as the storyline's concerned. So Hopper and 11 are just kind of stuck in the cabin, not much to do. And she's like, she gets to the point where she wants him to tell her a story. And she's like, no, something real. And she, remember when she was digging around in one episode and she found a box that said Vietnam and a box that said New York? Well, she asks him about that. And that is the basis of this story. He doesn't want to talk about Vietnam. He's not ready for that. But he goes in and she opens the box about New York. And he tells her about this big case that he worked in New York City. It was 1977. Your host, was 1 year old. And he basically, there's like a couple things in there, evidence and files from this giant case. And the rest of the book is him telling the story of the case, then going back to the cabin, back more story, back to the cabin to kind of get her reaction. And is this too much for her? And her asking questions and then going back and forth. And that's it. Now, while I was reading this, I'm thinking, I wonder if this was a story that the author had. And someone came to him and said, listen, we think you'd be good for writing a story about Stranger Things. You know, we're looking to do something about Hopper's backstory. What do you have? And they put two and two together. That was just me completely guessing. I have no idea. It doesn't matter because the story, it's not just plug and play. It's not just change the name to Jim Hopper. The one thing this author did do, which I commend him on, and I thought he did a great job of this, he spoke in the way Hopper talks, I feel like. I feel like every time that Jim Hopper was talking, I could picture David Harbour. I could picture Jim Hopper saying these words, making these faces, pausing, like everything. He felt like the nuances of the way that he talks, the way he gets upset, the way he laughs, the way he tries to deal with things felt spot on. And the same thing with 11, like the way she talks slowly, the way she thinks sometimes with a, you know, she'll give like a kind of a blank stare and say things. I thought he nailed that with that. Other than that, this didn't have to be in the Stranger Things world. There was, at one point, the thought of something maybe little supernatural, but it turned out not to be that. Just to give you kind of the quick, you know, I there's only so much you can say because it's not, it doesn't really build on the Stranger Thing mythos at all. It's just going into the past. And here's the thing. There was in an episode I talked about what we're looking forward to in season 4, and David Harbour talked about you know, learning a little bit more about Hopper's past, and he brought up those boxes, the Vietnam box and the New York City box. And you know, I wonder if they planned on doing this. I wonder if, you know, because I mean, technically, this is canon, right? But are they going to do something like in the show that I'm already spoiled on because I read it? Are they going to do something in the show that is completely separate from this, so the book really isn't Everything. But here's the thing. I should say this. The book talks about one case that he did in one summer. He didn't leave New York at the end of it, and he didn't show up at the New York at the beginning of it. He was already there for a little while. So there are other stories in the Big Apple that they could touch upon. And, of course, they could always touch upon Vietnam. And, of course, it may not even that they go back. It may be that someone shows up from his past. These are all just little guesses on my part. But this is the story of Jim Hopper, who came home from Vietnam, and he came home well-adjusted. He feels like he, you know, he volunteered for the Army. He saw a lot of people, a lot of his brethren struggling coming home, and he felt like, you know, he came home okay, and he felt like it was his duty to give back, and that's why he became a police officer. But he felt like he could do more. His wife felt like she could do more. She was a school teacher, and they felt like Hawkins was too small for them, it seems like. They have a small daughter, and they all moved to New York City, and they live in an apartment. They she is a school administrator teacher at a nice school. They're basically very happy with their jobs. It picks up with them at a birthday party, and there's a woman there reading tarot cards, and she talks about dark days coming. Dark days. And I'm thinking it's about, you know, the death of the daughter. So it's like, and Jim is kind of freaked out by it. And you don't think much about this woman, but she comes into play later because there's a case that comes in. Jim has a new partner, Detective Delgado. And it's a woman. So she's like in the 70s. She feels like she's already one step behind as far as getting respect from people. But Jim treats her like an equal. They get along really good. They stumble upon a case where these dead bodies start showing up. And then all of a sudden, the feds show up out of nowhere and say, this is our case now. But they don't want to stop working it. So they keep working it. I'm giving you the real crazy once over. If you've read this, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't read this, I'm spoiling it. They end up finding at these dead bodies these weird cards. And it turns out these cards kind of are like work with tarot cards. So they end up connecting back with the woman who reads the tarot cards. It's a friend of the family. But at the same time, you find out she's also a counselor. It is kind of weird how it all connects. And then this kid shows up and he's like, oh, they're bringing back the devil. Like the devil's coming. And St. John is bringing back the devil. And it turns out there's this guy named St. John who takes a turn where you think it's just this murder with like a psychopathic killer. It turns out it is this dude, this former Vietnam vet who was experimented on in Vietnam, and now he's come back and he kind of thinks the devil is coming. He you know, Jim thinks he's kind of faking it, thinks he's trying to manipulate people, but it seems like he completely believes that the devil is coming and he's going to help bring him back. And he uses, you know, psychological warfare. He uses chemical kind of warfare to get these gangs to get together, to manipulate them, to get them to buy in, to believe in everything he says, to treat him like a god, to listen to everything he says. It's almost like he brainwashes these people. And it turns out that the tarot card reader was also one of his counselors when he was part of this place. And now he wants to... I feel like I'm rambling. It is good. It is an enjoyable read. But it's like a 1970s New York City cop story that could have had anyone in it. It just happened to have Jim Hopper in it, and you felt like it was Jim Hopper. You really did. But he, I feel like I'm losing steam talking about this. So he tries to figure out what's going on. This kid shows up. He goes with this kid to figure out what's going on, and it turns out that the feds are also trying to investigate. They shut everything down, but they're still investigating. So then they make Hopper work with the feds. He has to go undercover and infiltrate the gang. And he figures out what is going on. At the same time, there is a 1977. There's a giant blackout throughout the city. Wasn't there a giant blackout in the 70s in New York City? So I don't know if this timing is exactly right. I feel like it is. I feel like they're using the real events of the, but I could be wrong. I didn't look it up. I should have, but I didn't. So they're like this gang of crazy people. They're doing human sacrifice. They end up sacrificing the psychologist, the tarot card reader. I mean, it is, there's craziness going on here. They find out the Jim is a cop, but he says he's a dirty cop, but then they find out he isn't. So then there's chases through New York City. Then you kind of feel like you're in the Warriors. They're running through New York City in the darkness. He's got this woman whose brother's in the gang that Jim was working with earlier. Oh, my goodness. And she wants to get him out. There is just bonkerness going on here. And it all comes to like a head when Jim gets almost gets drugged to the point where he kills his own partner. I mean, I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this, but if you read it, you know what I'm talking about. But while all this is going on, he'd cut back to 11 every so often in the 80s. And he'd be like, is this too much? And she's like, I love it. Keep going. She wanted to know more. She wanted to ask questions. She even asked, like, how do you know all these things? You weren't there. He's like, well, because there's stuff in the book where Jim's not there. How would he be telling the story? He goes, I'm piecing it together as best I could based on firsthand accounts or secondhand accounts based on other people's stories and reports. And you knew that Jim was alive at the end, so you knew there was a happy ending there. And he said that his partner stayed alive to make 11 feel better, which makes sense when you're talking to a kid. So you knew everything was going to be fine there, unless he lied to her. So that was the one thing I was like, well, maybe he lied to her, but he said he'd never lie to her. So he didn't. And, you know, everyone came out okay. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what else to say about this book, except it was definitely, I liked the guy's style of writing and I liked the story he put together. The only, it's not even a criticism. The only like other thing I could say is that it just isn't, there wasn't a need for this story to be a Stranger Things story. Whereas suspicious minds would have been like, whoa, this is totally Stranger Things. They're ripping this off. This is a story of, a good cop and good cops doing what they can to save the day. Just so happened this good cop was Mr. Jim Harper, Jesus Christ. So the book ended with him in New York City and being happy with things. I thought we were going to get the death of his daughter getting sick. I thought we were going to get maybe the beginning of the end of his marriage. There was a couple thing where he drank a little at work and you think, wasn't he kind of, didn't he fall into the bottle when his daughter died? And wasn't he kind of, not a drunk, but kind of just like a little bit of a drunk at the beginning of Stranger Things? Wasn't that, you know, he just didn't care about all that much. He was just there doing the work. So I wondered, they didn't really lean into that, but I thought maybe some of that, I thought I saw some of that when he at the end they're celebrating it at work. She pours the partner pours a little drink in his cup and he's like, give me another one. She's like, ooh. And I just thought, oh, okay. There's something there, I think. But I don't know. I think, I'm not sure how much more I can talk about it because again, it's just, there's no way to tie this in to Stranger Things other than, you know, the author did a great job of speaking like Jim Hopper and speaking like 11. So I kudos to that and to a good story. And I think that's it. I think that's really, really all I can say here. So I want to tell you what's coming up next for the book club. So next on my list is back to the comics world. We're going back to the comics world. And we are going to be reading Into the Fire, which is, you know, it's like the third series of comic books of the comics, which I'm looking forward to. I already have it purchased, so I'm ready to go when the time comes. Then after that, the next step, the next book, the next novel is Runaway Max, which is the third Stranger Things novel. And it deals with Max. So, but I think it deals with Max before she comes to Hawkins. So again, this might be another character building book, backstory of a character. But again, nothing that makes the Stranger Things quote unquote world impacted. Like, there's nothing that impacts, in, you know, what we like. Oh, wow, there's the lab. Oh, wow, this and that. I don't think. Maybe, who knows? Who knows? Maybe Billy's in this and there's something there. I don't know. I'd be interested to find out. And I'm looking forward to reading this soon. There might be a little bit of a delay with that, even though I'm already slow enough as it is. There's another book coming out, and it's not a Stranger Things book, and I am really looking forward to reading it. And it's called Ready Player 2, and that comes out next week. And I might want to read that first. Please don't hold it against me. Please, I'm just a fan of Ready Player 1, and I really want to read the second one. As new, I want to be like right there, right at the beginning, and then I come back with Runaway Max, probably reading that over Christmas break. Again, I'm a slow reader, but we still have time. We still have so much time before Stranger Things 4 gets here. But yeah, I think that's it. I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for staying with me. The show is on Twitter. We don't do a lot of tweeting from it, but every show is tweeted there. It's at StrangerDPod. Me, myself, and I am both on Twitter and Instagram under the name Geek Mentality. The website is fansnotexperts.com. We do have a Facebook page called Fans Not Experts that every so often I remember to look at. And if you do make comments there, eventually I will get back to you. It may even be a year later in the future. But again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for subscribing. I'm excited to continue my adventure into the wider world of Stranger Things and its characters. And until next time, until you hear from me again, until we're back talking about comic books, remember, reading is fundamental.
Fans Not Experts. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.